Crimecast number 5, brought to you by evilnow.com, where you can always find a book, DVD, CD, stuffed animal, grave dirt, put out and sold with crime in mind.
Hello.
Hey, Audrey, it's Shane calling.
Hi.
How you doing?
Okay.
Excellent. Yeah, so I'm calling and I'm recording now, and we're going to talk about, well, you live next to John Wayne Gacy. And how old were you when you lived next to John Wayne Gacy?
I've lived here most of my life, so when he was arrested, I was about 22.
Wow, and you lived there through your childhood?
Yeah, my parents bought this house new when it was built.
And they had you in that, you were a baby, newborn baby coming there?
I was born after they moved in.
Wow, so you knew, and did Gacy live there when they bought, or did they buy, did he buy... When did he own his house? How old were you when he lived next to you?
Around 15, I think.
Is that when he bought his house?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's your earliest memory of good old neighbor John.
Yeah, when he moved in.
Right on. And so, what are your impressions? What were your impressions of Mr. Gacy as he's moving in, and your earliest memories of him and stuff?
Oh, he was nice. He came over here a lot, talked to my parents a lot. I really didn't get to know him that much until he was getting married to Carol.
And how old were you then?
Still 15 going on 16.
Oh, okay.
Because when she moved into the house, she had two kids, and then I started to be the babysitter.
Wow, so you were Gacy's babysitter.
Yeah.
Wow, and you know, I talked to you a little bit before I'm calling today, and you've got an amazing... Just an amazing, crazy story that I find sort of funny. You know, you're Gacy's babysitter. I'll give people a brief introduction of who you are. You're not only Gacy's neighbor, you're Gacy's babysitter, and it's not just that you're a serial killer's neighbor, but you guys kept in touch with Gacy. Am I right? He visited your house 2 days before he got arrested, and the last letter you got from him was 2 days after he was put to death.
Right.
So that you have the whole history of keeping in touch with them, and then you were, I think you told me, what'd you do on the night of his execution?
Went and got Kentucky Fried Chicken, because that's what he was having.
And watched the
execution.
What was that?
We thought we'd share a meal with him while he was getting executed.
And so you watched the execution on TV and sort of were hanging out, giving your last respects through a bucket of chicken. Yeah,
and then we were making fun of reporters outside at the same time. So
because they were hanging out.
It was an interesting night, yeah.
And did you ever wonder why the fuck would, why would these reporters hang outside of a house that is not his anymore? I mean, it was leveled. I mean, you know, and a new house was built. Why would they be hanging out there? You know, isn't that sort of weird?
Ever since Gacy was here, there's always somebody out there. There's always someone passing by, stopping, asking about it.
I've done it a couple times.
There's been vandalisms. There's all kinds of things going on.
You told me just like...
Especially around the anniversary of the things. You know, like around Christmas time, somebody will do something. Halloween, somebody does something.
Didn't you tell me around Halloween this year, someone drove their car through the lawn, knocked out a couple trees?
Yeah, and did it again a couple days ago.
Wow.
Same two trees. Only this time, now they're gone. There's no way we can replant them.
You know, really, maybe the guy that owns Gacy's house now, or not Gacy's house, but the lot that Gacy's house stood on, maybe he should put a little webcam outside, and, you know, you know, he could have Gacy's lot online, you know, gacyslot.com, and he can have these little cameras and a little camera. You tell me he has a basement and the lights flicker and he makes jokes?
Yeah, but no, we were talking about this the other day. We're going to set booby traps instead. It'd be more fun.
Oh, I love that. You know, I have this great...
Put some boards with some nails sticking up there in the corners, you know, right where they come in and go out, so boom, get their tires going in and out.
Yeah, and then get it on video, too, though. You got to get...
Yeah, we should, yeah.
Get it all on video, get the guy climbing out of the car, you know. That's good stuff.
Actually, you know, when the lot was empty, my dad used to booby trap the lot a lot. Which is kind of what gave this guy the idea, because they would always drive into the lot and do things. So he would do that. He'd put, you know, sticks out there with nails in it. Catch a few.
Really? So when Gacy's house was taken down, how long did it take him to demolish the house? Wasn't it pretty quick?
Oh, it was done in a couple of days.
And
most of it was gone anyway. They dug out the whole inside.
I guess what I'm asking is how long after he was put in jail did they knock it down finally?
I think closer towards the spring of 79.
So within a year?
Oh, less than that, within months.
Of him being arrested, they had that house down and that was
when,
it?
When they were sure they had all the bodies out, they started knocking it down.
And so how long did it remain a vacant lot before someone built on it?
A couple years.
Wow, and that's when your dad would set booby traps.
Yeah, and my dog used to, like, patrol, I guess you would say. That was like my dog's domain for a while. He would just walk around there and watch people.
Wow, that's crazy. And so, now your parents kept in touch with Gacy. It wasn't really you, right?
Right.
It was your mom and your dad.
Yeah, mostly my mom. She wrote to him all the time.
And so your mom loved Gacy.
Yeah, she thought he was a great neighbor, but, you know, she'd always say if he was doing something wrong, she would have been the first one to turn him in, but, you know, she didn't catch him.
Yeah, but other than that, he was a good neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys can definitely differentiate between his dark side and, hey, he was cool to us.
We didn't know the dark side.
Right, right. And did your parents believe he did it?
Oh, yeah.
Did they ever have a question of doubt, as his book says?
I think at first, until a few days after he was arrested, John called here and talked to my dad. My dad, the first thing he said to him was, you know, why'd you do it, John? And apparently John's answer was, you know, I didn't. But I think my father always knew that he was probably guilty.
Wow, so Gacy called your house within a couple of days of his arrest.
Yeah.
So your family wasn't, you guys weren't just a neighbor, you guys were good friends.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, and that says something. I believe you have a Christmas wreath that Gacy gave your family online for sale.
Right. He brought that over right after he started PDM.
Wow. And your parents kept it all nice and pristine.
Well, you know, nobody wanted the jelly, so they just left it in the box. Because it's a wreath with jelly in it, you know, little bottles of jelly.
Yeah, and so you're getting ready to... So how this all came about is you're getting ready to move...
Right.
And you're sort of cleaning out this house that's been there for, 50 years now, huh?
With 50 years of junk in it, yeah.
Yeah, 50 years of junk in it, and then you're digging out all these... did you realize that your mom had kept great correspondence with Gacy over the 15 years he was jailed?
I knew she was writing to him. I found a few letters every once in a while, like in a cabinet or in a drawer.
But you
then when I was cleaning out the attic, I found the box.
And so he was jailed for longer than 15 years, I think. I'm not being specific. It's
from, 78 to, 93?
There you go.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so that is 15 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or is it 15, it's 17 years. I don't know. I'm bad with math. Whatever, 15 to 20 years.
Yeah, he was there for a long time.
Yeah, so and so now you realize the extent your ma kept up with him, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
She kept all the news articles?
She has a box full of clippings that she kept. She tried to start like a scrapbook. She kept a journal kind of from when he was arrested until after the trial started.
Oh, I'm glad you brought up that journal. You know, that's really... When I hear about the stuff you have and selling it to collectors, that's one thing. But you've got a really interesting story, something that should be made into a book or a movie to me. You know, when you told me about that journal and your mom had appeared on Oprah?
She was on Oprah, Geraldo.
Did both your parents appear in all these, or is it...
No, the only one that my dad went to was Geraldo.
Okay.
Because they paid for him to go to New York, and he says, well, he would do it if they would pay for him to go to Atlantic City afterwards.
Chicago's in the house.
Yeah. He didn't, you know, let's do the show, but I want to go gamble.
That's right. We're from Chicago, right? We need a little something extra.
Been to Vegas, never been to New York, wanted to try that.
Yeah, I've never met your father or mother, but I love them.
You would have. They're pretty cool.
They are. They're cool. I mean, they know, you know, hey, neighbors, you know, I've heard this great joke, it's off-color joke, but I've heard this great joke, you know, when you have problems with the neighbors, I've heard a couple of times people say, neighbors, the other N-word, and I always laugh.
Oh, I never heard that.
It's funny, because neighbors are a pain in the fucking ass. And if you
The one that moved in after him, oh my God, they were terrible, terrible. They were horrible neighbors.
Yeah, and you used to taunt that neighbor, right? You would say, "And well, okay, we'll get into that one in a second, but neighbors, they suck. So when you get a good neighbor...
Yeah,
It's good stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, being that they were here all those years, there's really only, you know, a couple that we've kept in contact with all this time.
You mean a couple neighbors?
Yeah.
Yeah, over 50.
You know, if John was still alive, I'm sure we, you know, somebody would still be writing to him, but there's very few neighbors that you know, other than the ones, the few that still live here. But most that have gone, you know, we didn't keep in contact with anymore, but there's a few. And I think John would have been one of them that we would have kept in contact with.
And I think that's one of the morals of the story that we have brewing here, is that neighbors are priceless. Let it, you know, if you have a good neighbor and he's a serial killer, you can let that go. He was a good neighbor.
Well, yeah, I don't think of him as a serial killer. I still don't. You know, I read the stuff, but he wasn't that way to me.
Hey, you were his babysitter, though. So you had
he paid well, too.
He paid well. So how was he to hang out with and stuff when you were in his house? Paint us a picture of, like, babysitting for John, if I will call him John. What'd you call him, Mr. Gacy?
No, John.
John, huh? Okay.
No, John.
Yeah.
John. I don't know. I'd go over there. They'd tell me where they were going. They'd leave. They'd come back, you know. They say, you know, if you're going to have a drink, you know, try not to have too much. You know, because I was, like, 15.
Gacy would say that?
Yeah, he had a full bar there. You know, help yourself if you want. Just, you know, don't overdo it.
Oh, that's great.
Which I never did anyway, you know, unless they were home.
So did he have any...
I'm with the kids, so I'm not going to do that.
So did he have anything like, you know, when you babysit the guy, hey, look it, you can have anything in the freezer but my Reese's Cups. Don't touch the Reese's Cups. Did Gacy have any...
Kind of like that, yeah, kind of.
Did he have anything off limits?
I think a certain bottle or a couple bottles of whiskey, don't touch this, but, you know, if you want a beer or something, go ahead.
So what was in Gacy's freezer? Do you remember anything? Does anything stick out from your childhood when you think back on Gacy's serial killer going, wow, you know, I wonder if that's the preferred mayonnaise of serial killers or anything, you know?
No, not really. I was more interested in the bar. Didn't care what was in the freezer.
Right on. Me, I'm a...
And, you know,
I'm a big boy, so I remember freezers and fridges. You know, anytime I get a look in someone's fridge, it almost sets the tone for what I think about them.
I don't really remember. I think when I babysat when they got married, I probably was in there more because I was getting stuff for the kids. But other than that, I never would go in there unless it was to get something for the kids.
So, I mean, let's be honest. As a babysitter, and I've babysat, I went through the houses. You know, I'd go through their underwear drawer, everything. I'd look around. I'm a snoopy motherfucker. You ever do that?
Well, yeah, a little bit.
Did you ever find anything weird?
I'd go room to room and see what's in there.
Yeah, did you? Right, it's natural. It's natural. I don't care what anyone says. That's just natural. Did you ever find anything weird that set off like something that you were like, wow, that's sort of weird, and then you think back after he gets arrested? I remember...
No. My whole thing with him is I thought it was pretty cool because, you know, the bar was open. I thought that was cool.
That is cool.
Why would I question him about anything else? I didn't care.
But you didn't find anything like a cock ring laying around or anything crazy like that?
And if I would, I probably wouldn't have even known what it was.
Now, is Carol the wife that got divorced from John, and she used to say how he'd like her to have sex with other boys and he'd watch?
I never heard that.
One of his wives said that. It was sort of creepy. That was one of the...
It might have been Marilyn, but it wasn't Carol.
How do you know it wasn't Carol?
Because she would have told me.
Oh, really? So you had a relationship with her?
Oh, yeah. Instead of just hanging around and, you know, with some of the kids or something in the neighborhood, I'd go sit with her. Because she let me smoke. We'd sit there, we'd smoke, and she'd talk, and we'd talk.
So she was cool?
Yeah.
Do you know...
They were younger than my parents, so they were closer to my age, I guess.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So I felt like, oh, I could sit there and talk to her forever.
No, I do know what you're saying. Sometimes you meet an adult that sort of treats you like an adult.
Right, and I was always the kind of person that, you know, if there was a party in the house, I didn't hang around with the kids. I sat with the adults. I was more interested in what they had to say.
Yeah, right. Mature, beyond your years.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, so do you talk to Carol or any of these people today?
No, I haven't seen any of them in years.
Since the arrest, or?
Actually, Carol, I haven't really seen her since her divorce. I know my mother bowled with her for quite a long time.
Wow.
Afterwards, but... So and after they got divorced, I didn't spend much time there at all anymore.
So she stuck around
Carol was the one I went to see. It wasn't really him.
I see.
I mean, he was always nice to me when I was there, but she was the one I was interested in talking to.
So did she stick around the area?
Yeah.
After the arrest?
Yeah.
Wow, so she's still around.
She got an apartment that was only maybe about 6 blocks from here.
Wow. So she's probably still around the area.
I think she is. I know she remarried. I know the kids I think one of them moved to California. I think that's what John said in one of the letters.
Wow.
He kind of touches on, you know, every once in a while they would come and visit, and then he started talking about how Carol stopped visiting. And
that's in the letters, huh?
Yeah. Oh,
boy, you know, between your mother's journal and those letters, man, that seems like an amazing story. I mean, that's just an amazing story. Those letters, the correspondence between you, between your mom and him, and then the journal she kept about being like on Oprah and Geraldo, that's some amazing stuff.
Well, her journal is like daily. It's like this, you know, Russ Ewing showed up today, Jay Levine showed up, you know, all the news guys.
And you guys,
they found more bodies today. Audrey didn't come home last night. Where the hell is she? Stuff like that.
Oh, that's some amazing stuff. You told me a couple stories. I remember one I thought was just a great visual of, like, the cops are over there digging, and they would tell you something like, you know, hey, come back when it's dark and the news reporters are gone. We'll let you in the house to check it out. And your mom would go over there and bring them coffee and donuts or something like that, or cookies?
Yeah, either she'd bring it to them or they'd come over here.
Wow.
But, yeah, they used to, you know, they'd say, well, come back later when everybody's gone. You know, because there were bushes in between our houses. But there was, like, an opening there, and they'd let me in, and, you know, come on in and look at the house, see what's going on.
So what do you remember?
We were digging where all the little flags are. And
so you remember all that?
Oh, yeah.
What did you see when they, did you see any bodies getting pulled out? What do you remember from, like, going in there? Was there, now, here's, I guess, a question, a couple of questions I have is, did it really smell that bad to live next to Gacy?
I never smelled anything. Never.
I know there was a neighbor, I think, across the street who had said he smelled something and said, what are you running, a morgue, Gacy? And Gacy said something,
you know,
like that.
What I think he smelled is that because since that house was built, the crawl space flooded. So I remember all the owners, they'd always have to run a hose from under the house to the street to get the water out. So that's probably what he smelled, because then it was facing his house.
Ah, that's what Gacy said, too. In something.
There was always a problem with water under the house.
You know, and I guess it's going to, it might smell a little different when you got some bodies down there floating in the water.
But then you got to remember when he got divorced, I rarely went into the house. The last time I was there was the last party he had where I was in the house. Only because he wanted me to come over and see something that he did for his sister. I don't know what it was.
And that was weeks before his arrest?
That was months. That was in July.
Okay, and so it didn't smell then?
Well, it smelled like food because they were cooking.
Right, well, I don't know. I mean, so it didn't smell bad to live next to...
They were cooking what they couldn't fit in their ovens they were bringing over here.
Wow. And so it didn't smell bad to live next to Gacy?
I never smelled anything. Although my cat was always over there sniffing by his vents on the roof.
Oh, that's good.
I used to complain about that to my dad.
And the other question I had, and you already answered it, but I'm going to ask it again for the listeners here. As I have lived in Chicago, and I used to take people on a serial killer tour when they'd come and visit. We'd go see the house Speck murdered the nurses in, and then we'd drive out to Gacy's old lot where his house used to stand. And there's this nice brick home built on the lot where Gacy's house used to be. And we'd go and visit it, and it was always the same. Maybe the grass was a little longer or shorter at the time, and I think it was really long at the time, which made me start to suspect that the neighborhood or the town bought the lot and just built some house on it where they have a timer on the lights, and no one ever lived in that house again. I couldn't imagine anyone living in there.
No, there were three people there. They were all nuts.
And you talked...
Really whacked out people that lived there.
And they all died in that house.
Oh, yeah, all three of them.
So that's sort of spooky, huh?
Yeah, maybe John says, we don't like you here, get out. I don't know.
Yeah, well, two of them were elderly, but...
I think he likes the new guy because he's letting him stay there with no problems, you know?
But a couple of flickering lights.
A couple of flickering lights, and then, you know, the idiots in the neighborhood could come driving through.
Yeah, but maybe the flickering lights, Gacy just likes to give him a little spook. He's a practical joke kind of guy, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, I don't know.
So any other good stories about living next to Gacy?
I think I told you that about the barbecue pit.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's a really good visual. You think about this, Gacy's digging a barbecue pit, okay? And you go on with the story, you know.
Right, so my father, who was a marble setter, you know, comes home from work, pulls into the driveway, and at that time the hedges weren't that high, because towards the end he let them grow really high so you couldn't really see over them.
Gacy did?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they were his bushes. He took care of them.
Okay.
so here my father comes home, and he looks over there, and John is, like, waist deep in the dirt, in the ground. So my father says, you know, hey, John, what are you doing, digging a grave? And John says, you know, that's not a nice thing to say. I wouldn't say something like that to you. Well, you know, you look like you're awfully deep in there. I thought maybe you're going to throw somebody in. Well, that's a horrible thing to say. You shouldn't say things like that, Ed. And we found out later he put someone down there. I don't know if my dad came in the idea or what.
You know, it'd be great if Gacy turned around and says, what are you, digging a grave for someone? I'm digging a grave for two people.
Yeah.
You know, and then later
it was huge. This hole was huge, and the barbecue pit wasn't that big.
Oh, that's...
And it was like 5 feet from the driveway, so, you know, my father could see right in there.
Oh, that's fucking great. That's just some good stuff. I don't care what anyone says. I think it's a hilarious, it's sort of a funny commentary that your mom's going over and cooking cookies and writing to Gacy and keeping a correspondence with them. And, you know,
I knew, too, from the letters, because I sat down one day and read all the letters all at one time. It took me like 6 hours. And you could see his mood changing at the beginning, you know, very jovial, you know, sent jokes all the time, sent little clippings here. I think this might interest you. And they talked about things in the neighborhood, but to see him change towards the end, where you could tell he was getting bitter. But during this whole time, I didn't know that he was calling them, like, on Sunday afternoons, you know, when he had phone time.
Wow.
He was playing phone calls, so I didn't know about that until I read the letters.
Wow, and so...
At that time, I had moved away, so I wasn't living here for a while.
Why do you think his attitude changed to getting bitter, because he was going to be put to death?
Yeah, and he knew he was losing the appeals. I mean, he bragged about, oh, I got an appeal, they're going to find out who really did it, they're going to know it wasn't me. And, you know, he felt that he was going to get out of it.
Well, there is...
at least he was praying for that he was going to get out of it and hoping someone would listen.
Now, there were a couple accomplices that did get away.
Oh, yeah, and I believe they're guilty. I think they knew it.
Well, yeah...
They were there too much not to know what was going on.
Yeah, those two kids at the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're named in the Time Life book. I don't know their names right away, but I know one of them had like a congressman as an uncle or something like that.
No, I'm not sure.
And 2 years...
One of them was driving around in one of the victim's cars for quite a while.
Right, and he's the same one, I think, who had a congressman as an uncle. And he also, 2 years after Gacy was imprisoned, he was arrested for doing basically the same thing, doing the rope trick on some kid and molesting him. And he was let go again.
Yeah.
And let's face it, common sense...
I think they probably made a deal with somebody.
Yeah, right. They did. They turned evidence on Gacy.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, I talked to the state's attorney who convicted and put Gacy to death about that, and he seems to think that they're not innocent as well, but, you know, he made a deal with them, so they would testify. I also did a book with Gacy and got to talk to him on the phone for many hours about that, and the one thing that I remember him saying, he was full of shit most of the time, as far as I was concerned. But the one thing that rang seemed to be common sense was he said, you know, if you ever saw photos of me when I was arrested, I was pretty big, and I couldn't fit in the crawl space to do that stuff for the last couple of crimes.
That's crap, though, but he wasn't that big. He was short. I mean, he wasn't that tall.
He wasn't fat?
He was hefty, but, I mean, the crawl space, if it's the same as ours, it's pretty deep. I mean, you could pretty much almost stand up in it, and I think he could have got around pretty easy in there.
Really?
But he did have the heart problems that we all knew about, and I think he had these guys dig for him at least.
He did have heart problems?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He even admitted that these guys admitted that they helped dig the trenches, but claimed they didn't know what they were for.
Yeah. They were for... That's right. Well, those are the people who turned evidence on him. That were
the trenches, dog. You know, what is it for him to roll the guy in there and cover him up?
Yeah, I...
Sorry, I don't mean to be so, you know, blunt, but that's what he did.
Right. I mean, exactly. I really do believe that those kids had something to do with it because they lived with Gacy. They didn't just dig the ditches. They lived there.
Yeah, especially the one. I mean, he was here all the time.
And let's face it. We all know ass sex is not quiet, okay? If he was having ass sex with young men in that house and there's other guys living there, there's no escaping that sound.
Unless he made them leave for the evening, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't know about the noise factor. I don't think I've ever witnessed that, so.
Witnessed what? Gacy having ass sex?
Yeah, whatever. Anybody.
Yeah, well, you know, at least I know. Maybe it is quiet. Maybe boogering is quiet at times, whatever. That just seems like you'd know. ass sex at least seems if you haven't experienced it or not, it's definitely a shitty situation and shit.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be what?
I got it. Okay.
And it's definitely going to be stinky. So your roommates are going to know. They're going to know. They're going to go, something stinky's going on in that back room.
Well, it's a three-bedroom house, you know, doors locked.
You know, I was always under the impression that he had some sort of basement. I think it was from some movie I saw or something.
See, that's part of the movies were wrong.
Right, he had a crawl space.
We all have crawl spaces.
And so he had his bar and his whole entertainment set up right in the front.
If you come and visit me, I'm going to take you in a crawl space.
All right.
So you can see what it looks like.
I love it.
We could even put up little flags there to make it look better.
I love it.
They have to be yellow flags, though. They were all yellow.
I'm definitely coming down for the crawl space tour of Norwood Park.
There you go.
Well,
camera will take movies.
You know what? I think that's really important. You know, Audrey, I think we're going to have another conversation with you sometime soon, but I think we leave the rest up to the imagination of the listener, and people should, really should be on the lookout for this story somewhere, maybe a book. They should start bugging people about seeing this in print. And
well, I'll tell you something. Just reading the letters one by one, one right after the other, in the order that they were written, he tells his own story.
Really?
He really tells his own story. And it's not what you read in the newspapers and not in the books. This is him personal. And I think that's what touched me about the letters.
Really?
You know, I just read these about a month or two ago. And I was in tears by the time I was gone. I missed the guy.
That's
even
beautiful.
Even though he was a serial killer, but, you know.
He was a good neighbor.
When I'm reading these letters, I can hear his voice saying these words, you know. I can still hear that. So it's very personal thing on him.
Did you think he was a sexy guy?
No.
Oh, that's too bad because...
Although he did tell me one time that he thought I had a nicer ass than my sister. I liked that.
Well, that's too bad you don't think he's sexy because... When I met Gacy's lawyer, the lawyer that he turned over his wallet to the night he was arrested, or the day he was arrested, the night he spent in the lawyer's office drinking the Jack Daniels.
Well, at least you know what to drink, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I put on Gacy's jacket, and I was playing with Gacy's wallet when I went and met this lawyer. And he said, you know, you look just like Gacy. He said, if I were to do a movie, I would cast you as Gacy. You're freaking me out.
Get out. You look a lot better than Casey. Come on.
I do?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's
from the pictures I saw, yeah.
Yeah, well, pictures lie online. You know, I send out those nice headshots that make me look, you know, probably good. But...
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, you know, I just was shocked when he said that. I went home, and there's nothing in the world. I mean, maybe there is, but it made me feel so horrible, I wanted to put my fucking head in the oven. He said, I look like Gacy. You know what? That's the second time that someone said that to me. You know who else said it?
I'll have to wait and see you in person, and then I'll let you know.
Danny Bonaducci said that to me. The dickhead from the Partridge Family had a radio...
Yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah, he had a radio show in Chicago, and I went and did an interview with him. He said, you know, you sort of look like Gacy. And it's something that...
You sure Danny wasn't on something when he said that?
Yeah, he was on my penis, that fag.
Oh.
No, I'm joking. He was on my book, my Gacy book and paintings. He tried to steal them. Danny Bonaducci tried to steal my book and paintings. He's like, I'll give these back to you later. And then he wouldn't call me, wouldn't return my calls, wouldn't give me back the Gacy painting and book. And then I had to go and I had to go down to the loop where he was a DJ at the time with a ball bat and start threatening people. And they thought I was insane to bring a baseball bat into a big building like that. This is, of course, before 9/11.
Oh, yeah. Try it now.
Yeah. I'm with the Cubs.
I'll watch. I'll film for you.
There you go. I'm with the Cubs. You're short and fat and white. Get out of here. Yeah. Ball bats are the old days. Old school, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, now it's... I'll just bring a chicken under my arm. I've got the chicken flu right here. Everyone
yeah.
Back away.
And they would, too. You watch them.
Yeah, everyone's a pussy now, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Audrey, you know, like I was telling people, they should start asking for this story more. Go to SK Central. I think you hang out there, don't you, here and there?
Yeah, a little bit.
You go on, and...
I'm to be on there at nights on the board.
Yeah, and go to murderauction.com and check out some of the stuff Audrey's selling and really start bugging people, publishers, newspaper folks. This is a story, I'm telling you. This is nothing. You've heard nothing. What Audrey's spilled here is 10% of this story. It's really funny the you know of and it's also sad. It's a compelling, funny, and some you know a little sad story. You know, it's coming from Gacy's babysitter and neighbor since she was 15. That's an amazing. It's crazy. You know, thanks for talking to me, Audrey.
Okay, well, call me again.
I bring you peace.